You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, November 3rd, 2025. Grandpa Dan streaming with you at RadioAlbion.com. It is Monday's the Daily Nationalist. It is time for the Daily Mail Monday, where we take a look at a hand-select stories from the Daily Mail, excluding celebrities, anything to do with the royal family, or sports ball, which whittles things down. Even though I start off with this huge long line of articles, it narrows things down pretty quickly. We're going to start off, of course, we had a happening in diversity in Britain with a vibrant stabbing, on the train. British train knifeman is pictured for the first time. Suspect, 32, appears in court, accused of train rampage that left 11 hurt and another attack in London hours earlier. You have to love the way the Daily Mail can't tell the difference between a headline, the title for an article, and the introductory paragraph. But nevertheless, this is the man accused of a knife rampage on a high-speed train bound for London, as well as an earlier attack at a station in the capital earlier that day. I'll probably use the guy's picture for our show today to save y'all from clicking on the link. Anthony Williams, 32, a very British-sounding name. Anthony Williams of Peterborough appeared at Peterborough Magistrates Court today, charged with 11 counts of attempted murder. Now, when this story broke, there were actual people online who were posting pictures of some white guy saying this was the stabber. And of course, you had the authorities immediately coming out going, it's not a migrant. It's not an immigrant, you racist bigots. He's British. It's a native-born British. So there you go. And they never it amazes me how tone-deaf they are, that this isn't the big win they think it is. It's not the flex that they believe it is. When they come out and say, oh, it's a native British man. This assumes that you're too stupid to remember their other arguments that when they bring these people in, well, once they're born here, once they have the next generation is born in their country, they will magically, just by pure magic, they will become just as British as any Englishman. You always know it when they start off, they're being real vague about who the suspect is, what's going on, what is this? There are a lot of people that were, you know, coming out and saying, oh, well, this is going to be, you know, it's going to be another Muslim. This is Islam again. You'll notice a lot of people, they use Islam and Muslims because they don't want to say non-native British. They don't want to say non-white. They don't want to say these people aren't originally from England or Wales or whatever. So they will use Islam. And the problem with that is it makes you look stupid when you go, oh, you know, this is going to be the religion of peace again. It's going to be Islam. It's going to be the Muslims. And then when it's, I haven't seen anything saying this guy was Muslim. You know, when you try to insert the religion because you don't want to say it's a racial thing, it just winds up making you look silly. Now, what do you say? If this guy isn't Muslim, do you just go back and say, well, I guess the authorities were right. He's just another British. They've been bringing these people in, and they act like, oh, no, it's an act of nature. These people have just shown up. The mighty British Navy is a bit of a joke anymore, but they could stop these people from coming. They are capable of that. They refuse to do that. And so then they just act like, well, there's nothing we can do about it. They've been bringing them in. They've been bringing these people in now for a long time. So naturally, now you have people that are born in Britain that are not British. I don't care what kind of piece of paper they have. They're not British. They're never going to be British. When they say, oh, it's a native British. And then you had shills on the internet that were posting pictures of some white guy going, oh, this is the guy, you see, bigots. Eventually, you get the actual picture. And he's no more native British than, you know, I'm native Nigerian or something. And it's basically to no one's surprise. The gaslighting, in other words, the gaslighting is getting really ineffective anymore. Williams is accused of attempting to kill a man after a passenger was stabbed at Pontoon Docklands Light Railway Station in East London shortly after 12:45 a.m. on November 1st. It is alleged the victim suffered facial injuries after being attacked with a knife. Hours later, Williams is accused of going on a knife rampage on the high-speed 6:25 p.m. LNER service from Doncaster to London's King Cross, where he's accused of attempting to murder 10 other people. Well, you see, they told us, they told everybody that, you know, with the diversity, it was going to bring all this vibrancy. You know, things were just so dull and gray in England. We need to spice things up with some more diversity. And this is what you get. This is literally the definition of it. Now this is what you get. You get knife attacks on the train. And people try to justify, oh, well, there's always been problems, and they'll point to some, you know, incident at some other point in time. Look, we know what it is. Your attempts at gaslighting people that, oh, it's always been this way. That's bullshit. And nobody with a thinking brain, nobody with a functional brain is going to fall for that. And yet the government will continue to not be held accountable. The Tories now can't get elected because they were in power for decades and tried to act like, oh, well, we're going to do something any minute now. When you get your next Tory government, we're going to do something. And they never did. So people gave up on that. Now you have the Labour Party, which just does more, double down of more of the same. It's always the same thing. I did this on the Sayonara Japan show. You know, the answer is always the same. More migrants. That's always the answer. More migrants. Like, there's no other choice. You got to bring more migrants in. There's still, once in a while, they try to come out and say, oh, well, it's going to help the economy, even though now we have evidence of the opposite. Remember when Merkel was telling everyone the migrants were going to pay the pensions, only they're just a welfare drain. Just as those who were derided and threatened and ridiculed for pointing that out beforehand, just as those people said. And this just isn't just isolated to Britain. I'm not just picking on Britain here by any means, because you still have people here in America, in the U.S. You have these conservative speakers and stuff, and they'll start. I saw a little clip of some wannabe conservative somebody who's trying to be like the next Charlie Kirk. And he starts spouting out the whole, you know, well, America is a nation. It's an idea nation. See, this whole country is an idea. That's just another dressing for the civic nationalist, for this. If you've got the piece of paper, you're British. You got the piece of paper, you're American. You look at this guy and you say, he's not British. I don't give a shit what kind of piece of paper he has. I don't care what kind of documents he has. It says, oh, he's not British. He's not native British. They brought these people in. Now they've had kids. Now the kids are grown. And now you have vibrancy like you've never seen before. And they never admit their mistakes. And when I say they, I mean the government. They never admit that this is, well, that's because it's not a mistake. Wait a minute. I have to correct myself. It's not a mistake. It's been done intentionally. That's why they keep doubling down. If it was a mistake, they could stop and say, yeah, we thought this was going to work. These people would come in and bolster the economy and pay the pensions. That hasn't worked, so we're going to reverse course. We're at the very least going to freeze and not a single other person in. But they never do that because it's not a mistake. It's done intentionally, and they'll keep gaslighting the public and acting like, oh, this is just inevitable. This is just the price we pay. It's always been this way. I remember being a young person, always thinking it'd be cool to visit Britain. No desire to visit now. Reeling things back in across the big pond. They're pumping up this New York election. I don't know why we're supposed to care so much about a single mayor in a single city. in the U.S. Now, this first story, I'm just going to barely touch on it because it's kind of a setup for the story I want to do after it. Devastating impact of Mamdani's election will be far worse than first thought. Exclusive poll finds America's greatest city facing historic population wipeout. Nearly 1 million New Yorkers are preparing to flee the city should Democratic Socialist Zohran Mamdani win the race for mayor. A devastating new poll, has found the departure of at least 765,000 citizens would be one of the biggest mass exoduses in American history, with a population equivalent in size to Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, or Seattle preparing to flee the Big Apple. The crushing survey conducted by JL Partners for the Daily Mail found that 9% of New Yorkers would definitely leave the city, which currently has a population of 8.5 million. To make matters worse, polling also found a further 25% of New Yorkers, or 2.12 million, would consider going. The poll revealed widespread alarm at the prospect of Mamdani taking over City Hall and highlighted the colossal economic impact a victory of the 34-year-old state assemblyman could have for America. If anywhere near that number left New York, it would crater the city's economy and send shockwaves across the rest of the country. It's not going to send shockwaves because we don't give a shit about New York. I know the people who live there want to believe that the entire rest of the country just sits with bated breath to see what's happening in New York City, but we don't. We really honestly don't care. Now, like I said, I want to jump to the next story because, you know, sometimes on the same day and the same, you know, the same page here for the Daily Mail, you go into a next story that contradicts the last one. This next story is Trump reveals devastating plan for New York City if communist Mamdani gets elected while rejecting comparisons. I'm a much better looking person. Donald Trump said he would withhold federal funds from New York City if communist Zohran Mamdani wins Tuesday's mayoral election. The president's declaration came during an appearance on CBS's 60 Minutes after host Nora Donald said Mamdani has been described as a left-wing version of Trump. "Well, I think I'm a much better looking person than him, right?" Trump said about Mamdani. O'Donnell pointed out that Mamdani, I hope I'm saying that right because I don't really care, but you know, if I'm not saying it right, I'm not doing it intentionally. Like Trump, has been described as charismatic and breaking the old rules. The president was asked what would happen to his native New York City if Mamdani defeats Andrew Cuomo and Curtis Sliwa. "It's going to be hard for me as the president to give a lot of money to New York," Trump said, "because if you have a communist running New York, all you're doing is wasting the money you're sending there." Trump admitted that he didn't like Cuomo, but that he would prefer the disgraced former governor win the election. "If it's going to be between a bad Democrat and a communist, I'm going to pick the bad Democrat all the time, to be honest with you," Trump said. The president compared Mamdani to predecessor Bill de Blasio, who Trump termed the worst mayor in history. Trump shut down Cuomo's promise that if the leftist Mamdani won, Trump would become the real mayor of New York City as, quote, so crazy. The appearance on the show was his first since settling a lawsuit with CBS News over the magazine's interview with Kamala Harris. This is now we're to the line I wanted to read. Most recent polls show that Mamdani with a double-digit lead on Cuomo with a 15-point lead in a survey by JL Partners for the Daily Mail last week. Now, wait a minute. I thought this guy was so bad that you were going to have all these people fleeing New York. But yet he has double-digit leads in the poll. So apparently, some people like him. Now, you know how I feel about all this voting and democracy bullshit. It's just theater. It's just sham. This is theater too, no doubt. But I just found it hilarious that they have this story about this guy so bad, there's going to be a mass exodus out of New York City. But then in the very next story, they have to admit that, well, all this talk is because he's actually polling really well and might win. Now, as to the mass exodus, all I can say is for the rest of the country, I think I can speak for the rest of the country when I say, please stay there. Don't come here. Please don't. Just stay there. You made your bed. Y'all think it's so great. And you created this. You stay there. If you think it needs fixing, you stay there and fix it. Now, just jumping back for a minute to the story about all these people fleeing, because I had to ask myself, I had some hunches here. I had to ask myself, I mean, who are these people that are gonna flee New York? You know, because you've got these polls showing the guy is apparently pretty popular, which isn't surprising because they're running a bunch of, you know, real duds against him. You know, so who are all of these people that are saying they're going to flee? And I hit this one line. Scott Singer, the Republican mayor of Boca Raton, Florida, said the city would welcome businesses moving from New York. He told the Daily Mail, been working with business leaders who are ready and trying to anticipate this move by planning for an exodus to Boca Raton. I've seen strong enthusiasm. With the prospect of more taxes and likely rises in crime and other problems coming, they're looking to come to our low tax life, vibrant business ecosystem. Now, they don't come out and say it, but for you, for those of you who don't live in the U.S., Florida, you know, is kind of the go-to where New York Jews go to retire. It's just kind of they go down to Florida for the weather and whatnot. And it's fine. I mean, you know, people are free to go where they want to go. But I think it gives us a little insight here as to who it is that's saying they're going to flee New York. Because the, you know, earlier in the article, they talk about it's mostly white people. You know, they use that in a non-derogatory term when they want to include Jews in there. You know, they suddenly they're white people. So I suspect, and again, I could be off the mark, but I suspect that that's who this significant portion that's threatening to leave. I suspect that's who they are. So good luck, Florida. You could potentially, if this guy wins, you could potentially get an influx of more New York Jews coming to add their own brand of vibrancy and contributions to your great state. It always amazed me because you have these people that live in New York, and you can use California as another good example of this. You have people that live there, and why they live there. They brag about how great New York is, how great California is. All the rest of the country just wishes they could be us. And then as things deteriorate and get worse, they leave. You know, and it's like, well, you've lived there for years about bragging about how great it is, but now all of a sudden it's really bad and you're leaving. Why don't you just stay? Why not if it's so wonderful? I point this out because we have a fair amount of people, usually from California, that flock to Texas. Like I say, you have the people that flee California like to flee to either Colorado or Texas, are two of the hot spots for Californians. Just like, again, Jews from New York City, they all go to Florida. That's just common knowledge. That's not like, oh, you're picking. I'm not picking on the Jews here. That's just well known that they do. They migrate to Florida. And here in Texas, we get a lot of people from California, and that would be all well and good. But you see, you always have this percentage of them that do the whole, oh, well, this isn't the way we did in California. Oh, you people are so backwards. Why don't you do it like we did it in California? And it always grates on the locals' nerves because it's like, if it's so great, why did you leave? Why did you flee? There's parts of this article, I'm pretty much done with it, but there were parts of the article, some of these people surveyed said that it was going to become a shithole in New York City if this guy gets elected. And from somebody who isn't there, has no desire to go there. For the rest of the country, we look at New York and we see it as a shithole already. And it's been a shithole for a long time. I don't really know what this guy's going to change here. I don't care. You know, the rest, as I said before, the rest of the country doesn't care about the mayor of New York City. I don't know what this guy is about. I don't know what kind of policies he's actually going to push. And again, I don't know, and I don't really care, but I think it's hilarious that, you know, you're going to get your democracy and this guy's polling real well and you're threatening to, what, abandon your wonderful New York? Again, I admit I don't know a lot about this guy, but I do know one of the things he recently stated that really set people aflutter was he pointed out that the New York City Police Department has been basically getting their training from Israel. He said something like, when the NYPD boot is on your neck, it's been laced up by the Israelis. And this, boy, this set off a proverbial shitstorm. And of course, my reaction was, well, yeah, that's true. People get all wound up. And again, I'm not promoting this guy. I don't know anything about him. Don't care. What I care about is the truth. And I think that's what everybody should care about. Again, this guy may be a total dirtbag. You know, he may, politics is all theater. I don't really believe in the narrative of, oh, this outsider politician is coming up, a rising star, and the people's voice is finally going to be heard. He may be like Trump in that regards, where this is the Trump for leftists, where they think this is finally, we're going to get some change. But what I do care about is what's true. And when this guy points out that the NYPD, you know, has been trained in the Israeli method of policing, and they all act, you know, there, I'm sure there was accusations of anti-Semitism, but that statement is simply true. And it's not just NYPD. I've said this for some time. After 9/11, they basically, why you've seen this, if you're older like me and you've seen the change in policing, like from the 80s, 90s, and then after 9/11, all of a sudden now we have this brutal militarized police that just shit all over people's supposed constitutional rights and just do whatever the hell they want to. That's because they started training them in the Israeli. They literally brought Israelis in, you know, to train these. They brought IDF in to train police departments, to set up the training program. People are like, we need better training. No, you need different training. See, people complain about the policing in America and their legitimate complaints. And they say, well, we need to look at what kind of training. I can tell you what kind of training. They're trained on the Israeli model. That changed. It used to not be that way. You know, I'm not saying policing before that was perfect. There's no such thing as perfect in this world. But they brought in the IDF, and what that means is they started training them on the Israeli model. And so, by extension, people are shocked when you get treated like Palestinians. Make that make sense. They brought in the Israeli, and you get treated like Palestinians. They don't care about your supposed rights. They just walk in your house, just like if they were an Israeli settler. The IDF showing up, and you're in the West Bank. That's why I laugh when I see people, you know, I don't care about the Palestinians. Screw them. More stupid Muslims. I don't care about them. And you don't understand. You're, in a sense, you're the Palestinians here. That's why they're trained on the Israeli model. And when this guy said this, oh, it's anti-Semitic. I think even the blood libel got thrown out there about that. You know, and again, I just care about what's true. And that statement is a factual statement. Which is usually the dead giveaway is when the name calling starts, when somebody says something and then the name calling gets thrown around. It's blood libel. It's oh, this is blood libel. It's anti-Semitism. That's a factual statement. Whatever you think of this guy. And again, it's not like I'm endorsing any politician, but that statement is factual. That's a conversation that really needs to happen in this country. We don't like our policing. I don't see why anybody would. I see these people drive around with their back the blue stickers. I know I'm kind of getting off topic here, but these other topics I have, I don't really care. I care more about this. I see people driving around with their back the blue stickers and all that nonsense. And it's like, look, we have a problem with policing in this country. Now, they purposely twist up. Again, I know this doesn't really have as much. I've gotten off topic, but this is more interesting to me and it's more important. We have a policing issue in this country. Now, they intentionally, and again, all this is theater. So you have these leftists come out and talk about defund the police, just get rid of all the police. That's stupid. And they know it's stupid. Those who send people out with this narrative, you know, and then low IQ morons repeat it. Defund and abolish the police. That's the answer. It's supposed to be ridiculous. Because then normal people go, well, these people are insane. You have to have police. You know what I mean? You do. You have to have police. Sitting there going, oh, the answer is just get rid of them and replace them with social workers. Get rid of them and replace them with social workers and mental health experts, whatever the hell that is. And normal people look at that and shrug and go, well, that's obscene. So I'll go stick a blue striped American flag sticker on my back window of my car and back the blue because these people are saying so they want to get rid of the police, probably so they can attack us and you know, leave us vulnerable. So I'm going to take the other position. And what that does is it prevents an actual conversation that really, if we had a functioning society, should be taking place. And that is, we do have a police. If you're a regular conservative, you don't want to hear it. I'm sorry. As the saying goes, back the blue till it happens to you. Now, me personally, I have not had bad run-ins with the cops. So this isn't like some personal thing where, oh, well, I had a bad experience with the police. I actually not had bad experience with the police. But we do, when you look at the overall picture in the country, I don't think police should have armored personnel carriers and do these hut-hut raids at 4 a.m. dressed up like they're the army and kicking in, you know, searching for insurgents in some man's home. I don't give a shit what the guy's accused of. We have a policing issue in this country. And instead of being able to address it, because they don't want you addressing it, these were put in place. These policies were put in place for a reason. They were put in place intentionally. It's not accidental. They train the police on the Israeli model, treat us all like Palestinians, and then give them all of this, these, you know, weapons, body armor, tanks, all of this crap, and literally dress them up like the military, call them heroes. And of course, these guys have all this stuff, and they let them go to a weekend class on how to treat people like insurgents, basically. And they're dying to try it out. So when they get the opportunity, oh, well, you know, we think this guy might have stolen a weed eater. They're going to go hut the house and kick the door in and then shoot somebody or his dog at the very least. We have a policing problem in this country. We can't have a conversation about fixing it because they don't want to fix it. So they give you this narrative of, well, you can either be for this, abolish the police. We don't need cops at all. We just need social workers, which is absurd and stupid. So that everybody else will say, well, I back the blue. I back our heroes in law enforcement. And see, neither one of those is the answer. The answer is we need to retrain them. We need to go through these departments and weed these people out that can't be retrained because they've been selecting people who they know will have violent tendencies and have no problem shooting someone. You know, so those people they have selected for, we need to get them out of there. And the ones that can be retrained, they need to be retrained on the way we used to train them. De-escalation, you know, handling, you know, understanding people's rights and respecting those. I hate it when you have people, conservative types, you know, that mean well. I always say this, they mean well. I'm not running people down. I'm not even running leftists down that mean well. But you have these conservative types that seem to have this attitude that if the police respect your constitutional rights and have to go through certain procedures, then that means they're shackled and they can't do their job. You'll hear people say that, you know, basically insinuate that. We have to give the police. That's why when someone like Trump comes out or these Republicans will come out and talk about, we have to give our brave law enforcement officers the tools they need to do their jobs that are so dangerous, by the way. You know, these cops need to, they're just trying to get home to their family every night. It's such a struggle, even though they're like not even close to being one of the most dangerous jobs in the country. We give them the tool. Like if they have to go and get a warrant to come in your house, that means they can't do their job. You know, like if they have to respect your constitutional rights, then our heroes are so incompetent, they won't be able to do their jobs. It's bullshit. If you've got some years on you like I do, you remember when they used to more or less follow those rules. You would have a quote-unquote bad apple that would violate them, and more than likely than not, he would get spanked. He would get slapped down. Now it's a regular occurrence. You can go on YouTube and find any number of videos of cops just doing whatever the hell they want. Just walk in your house. You're standing there going, do you have a warrant? No, I don't have a warrant. Well, you can't come in my house. And they just come in anyway and arrest you in your house for resisting obstruction. And nothing ever happened. Nothing ever happens. This idea that the cops can't do their job if they have to follow, you know, the rules, if they have to go through procedures. Oh, it's so hard to go get a warrant. Go get a damn warrant. And again, these things are often framed up where people, people have this tendency. That's why you see stories. That's why they hype these stories. You know, how do I want to put it? Of the other getting it. It's human nature to not care if it's happening to somebody else, if it's happening to the other. You know, you'll get a story and the media will hype it. The police are brutalizing this man, you know, and you know, they'll make sure it's a story about somebody unsympathetic, you know, some black guy that looks like a thug and he's calling the cops every name in the book. And then when he gets his ass kicked, your reaction is, as they want, is, yeah, I mean, that guy's an asshole. He probably deserves the ass whipping. But the thing is, if they're allowed to do that, if they're allowed to do that to him, they can do it to you. If you think the cops are just going to do that to black people in the hood, you're sorely mistaken. They need to follow the rules. If they can't follow the rules and do their job, then they're incompetent. Because, again, decades before 9/11, they more or less followed the rules, a lot more than they do now, I'll tell you that. And they managed to do their jobs. They were more competent then. Now, you have these low IQ morons with a badge and they just traipse into people's houses. And the way they get away with that is when they do hype a story, they always make it an unsympathetic person. Always. You are never going to see the media give you a story about somebody not acting like a fool, not looking like a criminal, who's just trying to exert their constitutional rights, invoke their constitutional rights, make the police follow their own rules that they are supposed to be governed by, and these cops making a fool out of themselves. You're not going to see that on the mainstream media. The only stories you're going to get is some guy who's unsympathetic, and they'll hype this up and say, see, this is why we need, and then you'll have the leftists come out and say, abolish the police, and then other people be back in the blue, and you never have the discussion. This doesn't work. I don't think cops need a tank. I don't think they need all of these weapons and dressed up like soldiers so they can play weekend warrior, whatever the hell. We're the insurgents. And I don't think they should be trained on the Israeli model. Now, again, I realize I got way off topic from this, but that was like one of the few things I saw about this guy. Because, again, I don't care about the mayor of New York City. I don't care about politics in general because it's all theater. But that was like one of the things I saw him raising and kvetching about was this guy's statement about police being trained on the Israeli model. And that is factually true. I don't give a shit about who the guy is and what he is. He's right. That's the truth. I don't care who says it. And again, politics is all theater. If you are a leftist in New York City and you think you're going to vote this guy in and he's really going to change something, you know, go talk to the Trump supporters that thought the same thing. It's all theater. You know, all of this stuff, they're just giving you a story. They're telling you a story. They're creating these narratives. They're presenting it to you. They want you to react in a certain way. They craft them a certain way. And after a while, you just get to where you can step back and say, okay, what are they trying to tell us? What are the reactions they're looking for? Like we just discussed a minute ago, for the leftists, we got to abolish all the police so the other people will run over here and back the blue. And the discussion we should be having, which is somewhere in the middle, we never have. You know, it's intentional. That's why they do it. That's why they present these stories in this manner. Anyway, we'll wrap up on that note. Again, I know I got way off from the actual stories here, but most of the stories I found today were kind of shit anyway, if I'm being honest. I don't really care. And, you know, I got to work with what I got to work with. And I had the opportunity to get off on something I do care about. You see these problems, whether you're talking immigration, you know, migration. When you talk about these invaders in Britain, what I talked about just now with the policing in America, these are problems and they have straightforward solutions. When you sit around and go, well, it seems pretty straightforward to me, but maybe I'm dumb. No, you're not dumb. What you see is why don't they just fix it? All you would have to do is this. Yes, that is the answer. They're gaslighting you when they say, we got to form a committee and do a study because this is such a complicated issue and we just don't know. Isn't it funny when they have to, when they need to, you know, get rid of the invaders, or we have to follow our procedures to the letter. But when it suits them, they throw all of their own procedures, all of our own supposed protections under law. They throw those out the window when it suits them. Funny how that works, isn't it? Anyway, we'll wrap up on that note. Thank you for joining me. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots program. It's already recorded. It's already done. It's ready to go. Dr. Johnson will be here Wednesday with the Orthodox National, that or Nationalist. That is already done, up and ready to go. And as always, we anticipate Dr. Johnson wrapping up our week on Thursday with his installment of the Daily Nationalist. I hope you'll get a chance to check it all out. We always do our best to have top-notch quality here on Radio Albion. Hope you enjoy the rest of the week. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.